Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Looking for a job is lonely. Endless searching, phone calls that go nowhere, applications that vanish into thin air. What if you could link with dozens of local companies who are hiring right now with just one connection? That's Express Employment Professionals. Find us at expresspros.com. One connection, endless opportunities, and no fees ever for job seekers. Express Employment Professionals. Expresspros.com.
All right, so I just gave you some of the numbers, the analytics, if you will, behind the athleticism, if you will, of the some of the draft class. So I wrote this up for Command Post Magazine, a Rick Snyder production. It's available via digital subscription or, if you prefer, like just a handheld newspaper-style magazine. I've been doing this stuff for 12 years with Rick. He's great. It's a good publication. You guys should get a subscription. Again, it's called Command Post. And basically, without giving away the entire piece, but giving you something to chew on here, right? What did we all walk away with last year going about Adam Peters' first draft class? Captains? Even though not all of the guys were captains, there was like five. Captains and relative athletic score. So this morning, when I was doing some research, I kind of wanted to take a look back and just say, okay, like, what are we dealing with here this year? So last year, they had a composite 9.427 relative athletic score out of 10.00. That was way up from Ron Rivera's last draft class, which was an 8.960. So again, nearly a half a point, digit, whatever. In 2022, Rivera's draft class had a, and this is John Dotson's group, and I think Fedarian Mathis and Brian Robinson, the group had a RAS score of 7.697. So in 2022, it was 7.697. In 2024, it was 9.427. Almost a two-point difference, improvement. Adam Peters, his first draft, to Ron Rivera, his then third draft with the Commanders, and his second to last draft. His second to last draft. So, again, we all know that there were issues, right? This is not to pick on Ron. So this year, I was like, okay, well, let's see what we've got. I could only identify one captain in the group based on their bios. Maybe I'm missing something, but it was Kay Medrano from UCLA. Part of the problem is all of these guys transfer and move. And I mean, like Jalen Lane went to Middle Tennessee State and then Virginia Tech. Could have certainly been a captain. Maybe he was and I missed it. I don't know. I didn't see it. So maybe I missed it. Krosky Merritt went to like 14 different schools. Connerly was at Oregon the last 3 years. But he was still a young baby bull. Amos went to three different schools. So you're not going to always get captains, right? Because usually that's a player voting thing. Usually it's not a first-year but again, everything could be a little bit different. It just depends on the player, the situation, the team, the organization, whatever. Medrano had been at UCLA his entire career, 6 years. So that's number one. Number two, I just gave you some athletic traits and numbers and whatnot on the other side of 3 o'clock or before 3 o'clock. Connerly, their first pick, had a RAS of 8.84 out of 10. Not in the nines, close, but not in the nines. Now, he was supposedly clearly their first player or their top player on the board. It ranked him 176th amongst all offensive tackles drafted since 1987. In the second round, Trey Amos, again, combination need, value, steal, what have you, 61 overall, only had an 8.37 on the RAS metric scale out of 10. So he was way lower than Connerly. Jalen Lane, you want to talk about now climbing, had a RAS score of 9.68 out of 10. But that was not the top member of the draft class. That was Medrano, who we mentioned. Not only was a team captain and at UCLA for 6 years, but he had a relative athletic score of 9.83. And this is all according to, again, RAS.football, Kentley Platt on Twitter, X, whatever. 9.83. It was the 57th highest total athletic score, or RAS, relative athletic score, I should say. 57th highest among linebackers since 1987. Think about what you were doing in 1987. I was 13. 14. Were you even born at that point, AMAC?
Say that year again?
1987? Were you born? You weren't born then, right?
Jeez.
So think about that, right? And then Ja'Cory Krosky Merritt was at an 8.29 out of 10. So he was lower than Trey Amos, who was way lower than Josh Connerly. So three guys worth 8.76 or lower on that relative athletic metrics. So as we mentioned yesterday, when they didn't have, according to NGS and Draft IQ and all this stuff from NFL.com, they didn't have the most athletic draft class. They had, I think they ranked fifth in one of the metrics, but they didn't have like anybody in the top 10 in other metrics, right? For athleticism and so on and so forth. My point being is, look, they are not, let me repeat, not going to be a 9.427 this year. They are also, again, unless I'm missing it, they are also not going to have as many captains as they did in the draft class last year. Maybe that's not as important when you don't have as many holes, when you are able to add and supplement because of a second group of free agency, still what is ahead and to come, but a second main group of free agency, not to mention you have shaped the roster kind of the way you envision it, the way you want it. Not exactly everything. Certainly you still have questions and needs and holes. Every team does. But you have shaped it much better and much different than a year ago when, yes, you did have a first free agent class, but you hadn't had a draft class. And obviously you needed the franchise quarterback.
I had a question for you, Chris. Yeah. And maybe I'm jumping a little ahead here. So if so, please. Do you think that there is like a urgency to get to a Super Bowl with a rookie contract? Like, do you, of course, they do as a GM, but as a fan, because we see like with Patrick Mahomes, mm-hmm. with his contract, he has a 10-year contract and he's continuously taking pay cuts.
Mm-hmm.
So they're able to work around him. But with other quarterbacks, they're signing for 50. Dak just went for 60 million. Do you find it like a certain pressure here as a fan, or do you believe in JD with that 60 million and you think whatever they put around him, they can get it done?
Well, I listen, and that's why I brought up they're more like the Chiefs and how Mahomes operates without the quarterback being on a long-term deal.
Exactly.
And that is a noticeable thing. But what I mean by the Chiefs example is when I think of the Commanders roster, they are more of a nickel and dime, 9-to-5 ham and egg type roster as opposed to a flashy, sensational, loaded with talent roster, which is more of what I see in the Chiefs. The difference being is Patrick is under a long-term deal because obviously he's won 3 Super Bowls and because he was eligible. Jaden is not. Jaden is secured for at least potentially 4 more years, and obviously I'm sure they will get a long-term contract extension done. But everybody talks about the window of the rookie contract. Yes, I think there's an urgency to win a Super Bowl, to get to a Super Bowl while he's under a rookie contract. Do I think it's the end-all, be-all? No, I don't. And I don't think they do as well. And the evidence that I have of that is kind of like what I'm talking about, is they are now filling out their roster in different sort of ways than maybe they did last year from a conceptual standpoint. On top of that, they know they're ahead of the curve. The trick is to make sure they continue to grow from there and not regress. And the other thing that I would say is they are looking at, okay, how do we make our organization, our roster, sustainable so that if we lose guys or if we choose to lose guys, Jeremy Chinn, De'Ami Brown, I mean, Olamide Zaccheaus, you want to keep going, whatever. If we lose guys, we have guys here that we feel really good about, that Dante Fowler, they let. We feel really good about, okay, the guys that are now going to step in. And it's not just a hope, it's a realistic expectation. So I guess what I'm trying to get at is I do think there is a sense of urgency. But I do not, this is me, I do not sense that there is a do everything and anything you can do and sacrifice or mortgage the future. The Philadelphia Eagles have made more moves like that. I mean, if you think about it, right? And now looking back, the A.J. Brown deal was a steal, and you would have done that 10,000 times to Sunday. But the Saquon Barkley move kind of represented a little bit of that, right? And now they just continue to retool their roster, and obviously more guys winning another Super Bowl, you're going to get more guys paid. That's why Sweat left. That's why the other defensive lineman whose name is slipping my mind, that Milton Williams went to New England, so on and so forth. This organization has to look at it from this standpoint, I think. There isn't just one way to build a roster. There isn't just captaincy and relative athletic score and everybody's going to fit in. There isn't, oh, hey, let's just draft best player available. Oh, hey, let's not depend on rookies. Let's go out and get veterans, i.e. Laremy Tunsil, Debo. I guess the point that I'm trying to get at is there is multiple different ways to cook dinner. And I believe, I could be wrong, I believe in Joe Hendry, but now I believe that the Commanders are saying there isn't one mold. There isn't one way to do this. There is multiple ways to do this. And damn it, we're going to explore and use every one of them, because this draft, again, is not based like last year's draft on largely relative athletic score. There are some athletes, We gave you the numbers to set it up, but it's not, RAS, yeah, like it was last year. And maybe that was by not on purpose, but that's the way it worked out. And again, to my knowledge, there's only one identifiable captain. So, meaning not every year is going to be the same identity, the same principle, the same philosophy. It's going to be different from year to year. And I think when you have that variety and when you have that perspective and when you have different ways of doing things and handling business, as long as there's common sense involved in it, which I believe that there is, you're going to be successful. There isn't just one way or the highway. So the point in doing all this was, listen, I understand, much like we said yesterday and Monday and what have you, that they didn't get an edge and they didn't trade down and people were disappointed, frustrated, critical of that, what have you. I'm not telling you that they hit it out of the park. I'm not telling you that everything's perfect and everything's rosy. I don't do that. But what I am telling you is that this year, there was a different philosophy, an identifiable philosophy than last year. The only common thread that I can think of right now is Adam Peters' emphasis on the offensive line. Because if you look, and it's beyond the draft, they brought back and signed Cosme to a long-term deal. They signed Tyler Biadasz and Nick Allegretti. They drafted Brandon Coleman. They traded for Laremy Tunsil, and now they've drafted Josh Connerly in the first round. That's pretty heavy investment in the offensive line. And every game at Northwest Stadium that I'm at, which is all of them, I see Adam Peters in the locker room, and the first group he goes over, and sits down with, and talks with, and has a joke with, or has a conversation with, or maybe has a little something else with that I can't say on the radio. Adam Peters, if there's one core philosophy through 2 years or two drafts and two free agent classes, that dude believes in the offensive line. That dude thinks this team, his team, the bread is buttered by the big uglies up front. And that's when you're in the land of the hogs, right? That should be a welcome thing. That should be a thing that we celebrate. It doesn't always guarantee success. Look at AMAX Giants. They've invested a lot in the offensive line, and quite honestly, it hasn't worked. Look at AMAX Giants.
No, but I think like it, to your point too, it's like what we've done on the defensive side too. Like you guys bolstering your offensive line. We saw the Eagles just win a Super Bowl. I feel like it shows competency from Adam Peters, where it's like Eagles got a great defensive line. We need to get a better offensive line. Giants are bolstering their defensive line. Let's go get these guys on the offensive line.
You know, another part of that is the investment that you, again, choose to make on the defensive line for yourself, right? You're right about the Giants and their pass rush, as we talked about, the Eagles. Again, maybe their pass rush isn't going to be as good because they lost some of those guys. But then, if you're going to, I mean, you can't just invest in your offensive line. Of course, clearly, you're going to have to also invest in your defensive line. And they did that with Johnny Newton. Yes, they lost John Allen. Yes, they chose to part ways with Dante Fowler, but they also brought in, again, the Dietrich Wises, the Javon Kinlaws, and so on and so forth on the defensive line, A, because they knew they had trouble stopping the run, B, because, again, the core philosophy is going to be, all right, I'm going to get as good of an offensive line as I think I can get, and then I'm going to build out the defensive line. And not that I'm going to ignore other parts of the roster, but that's going to be my emphasis. That's going to be my DNA. That's going to be my core identity. And that's where we're at. All right. I wanted to take a time out from there. We still try and get to a couple of calls. Hang on. But also, I got to get into the Caps and the Nats. A heartbreaker, a gut punch. We'll do so all before 4 o'clock. And Greg Hoffman at that point. On the Team 980 and the Odyssey app.
going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America for America.
Instacart is on a mission to have you not leave the couch this basketball season. Because between the pregame rituals and the postgame interviews, it can be difficult to find time for everything else. So let Instacart take care of your game day snacks or weekly restocks and get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Because we hear it's bad luck to be hungry on game day. So download the Instacart app today and enjoy $0 delivery fees on your first three orders. Service fees apply for three orders in 14 days. Excludes restaurants.
It's no surprise that facial hair is personal. It grows from your face. That's why Dollar Shave Club makes the razors, but you make the rules. Whether you're going smooth shaven or maintaining a beard, Dollar Shave Club offers shave and grooming products that are always high quality, but never overpriced. Dollar Shave Club products are now available everywhere. Or visit their site right now for 20% off $20 or more and get your products delivered right to your door. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/shaveup and use promo code SHAVEUP for 20% off $20 or more. And remember, whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
Hey everyone, summer is just around the corner and May's packed with reasons to celebrate. Whether you're firing up the grill for a backyard barbecue, soaking up the sun by the pool, or enjoying a long weekend with friends and family, Whole Foods Market makes it easy to kick off the season with great everyday prices on high quality favorites, from fresh produce to grilling essentials. Let's dive into the savings and get your summer fun started right. Personally, I love how easy Whole Foods Market makes it to pull together a last-minute gathering. I was there recently picking up a few things for a cookout, and those yellow low-price signs are no joke. I grabbed their No Antibiotics Ever Ground Turkey and a few 365 by Whole Foods Market Organic Salad Kits. Honestly, so convenient and surprisingly affordable. The quality is still everything you'd expect, but I definitely felt like I was scoring a deal, which I love. Plus those yellow sale signs, I make a beeline for them now. Especially when I saw strawberries on sale, we went through two cartons in one day. Save on May celebrations with great everyday prices at Whole Foods Market.
But hey, as they say in hockey, let's do that hockey.
AMAC loves that bite. He's been chomping at the bit to play it. Yeah, game five tonight, man. Capitals looking for the kill. And, you know, hopefully they will get it. Hopefully they will get it. You do not want to go back to Montreal for a game six. You know, and the bottom line is this. If they come out hitting the way they have in a lot of these games, especially at home, and if they continue to pound the body, and if they don't have the defensive breakdowns, or if Logan Thompson doesn't get out of position or something like that, and especially if they get Protas back, which we don't know if he's actually coming back just yet, I think he's going to be back, but don't know just yet. Supposed to be a game time decision. I mean, he looked ready, right? I didn't see the morning skate today, but he looked good in the video that I saw yesterday. I mean, he didn't stay on the ice extra long, according to Tom Galitti of NHL.com. That is usually the sign. As we talked about with Joe B. last Friday, I think Protas is going to play tonight. I think they get this done in five. and then get a little rest. Because, again, round two can't start until all the round one games are up. And Carolina eliminated New Jersey last night in double overtime. They had to fight really through that. And, you know, I think the Capitals, again, their size, being at home, their experience, their depth, their ability to be better in goal, not that that's a guarantee, their ability to get scoring from all four lines. You look at Montreal, they're largely or predominantly a living off their first line. I think the Caps get this done. You do not want to go back on Friday night to Montreal. Again, not that that would be the end-all be-all, but you don't want that. So clearly there's going to be an emphasis tonight. All right, let's get to, we'll try and squeeze you in as best we can here. Let's go to John in Oklahoma and get John aboard. I know John doesn't want to talk about the Caps, but we had to get to the Caps because we're running out of time. And we can do so, obviously, if you want. But, John, I know you want to talk about the RFK Stadium project. Go right ahead. How are you?
Thanks for having a call again, Chris.
Appreciate you got it.
Chris.
Yes, sir.
When's the last time you seen traffic jam stop billionaires? They don't. That ain't even on their list, Chris. Worried about traffic jams when they're building that stadium. So you can throw that out the window, okay?
I agree.
Man, that stadium's coming, Chris. You might as well, everybody, go get a chisel and a hammer, etch it in granite. It's going to be there, man. That's it. That's period. That's done. That's done. Next, we're going to get the name back and the emblem back, Chris. No. Let me finish, Chris.
I was just laughing.
Oh, you can laugh all you want, but you're just laughing in the mirror because I'm going to tell you something. Listen to this. The needle with all the winning last year on the products haven't moved a bit. And the needle is on empty, Chris. You can go to high schools. These kids don't even know what a commander is. And Jerry Jones himself has said, we have heard it out here in Oklahoma. I have personally heard it secondhand, one person away from Jerry Jones, a real good friend, a billionaire. What Jerry wants, he gets, and he's going to help them get it back. He has made the owners in the NFL more money than any owner in history. He tilts the needle, okay? Everybody knows that's woke went too far, okay? When the coach, Dan, wore that shirt with that arrow sticking on it with the feather and stuff, that's just a sign, Chris, okay? And when they hit them in the pocketbook, that's when they get off and they're worried, okay? That's it. That's all they understand. And if it takes another billion or 2 billion for them to come up with owners or his friends or co-owners, that's nothing to them, Chris. Nothing. So
let me ask you this, John. Do you think if the team was named still the Redskins that this stadium project would get done?
No, that's called timing. That's why they're waiting, Chris.
Okay. So you're saying after they get the stadium built or shovels in the dirt is when you do that. Okay.
Exactly. When they get to stadium, exactly, Chris. Exactly. You're exactly right. Hey, right. It's timing. I'm telling you, everything's timing.
All right.
You don't stop billionaires. You do not stop them, okay?
I got you.
And when Jerry gets on board, because let me tell you something with Jerry, they was going to come after Jerry with the cowboy name, but they realized, hey, it's almost impossible to get Jerry out of there because cowboys is a name used to chase down the slaves back in the day. You're going to get rid of Redskins. I tell you right now, they were just fixing to, and that's one of the reasons he's on board plus money. You can't find nothing commanders out here, Chris. I live in Oklahoma. You think you can find anything on the West Coast? No. You get online, you can't hardly order the stuff. So I don't buy it anyway. I never will buy it.
John, I love you. There's a thing.
You too. You're antagonistic, though. You like the fact. It's good talk for you. I can tell how you talk to people about it. You love it. I get it, man.
I appreciate it.
But it's coming, Chris.
All right. I appreciate you. I got to let you run. John's never heard of Amazon. Like, you can get anything anywhere. And just because the Walmart in Norman, Oklahoma doesn't have Commander's gear doesn't mean that it's not a popular name. Doesn't mean, like, listen, as I said all along, right, and people are going to fight on this forever and ever and ever until they turn blue in the face. All you needed to do was win and have something really exciting, i.e. Jaden Daniels, and Commanders jerseys and paraphernalia would sell because he would make it popular. And now that you have RFK, if the stadium project goes through and gets approved, now you've returned two huge missing slices, if you will, of the franchise's glory. And I know it's not enough for some of you, the name. But if you have RFK, and if you have Jaden and you have winning, everything will be okay. There'll still be the Johns. There'll still be the Sabahs. But everything will be okay. Everything will be fine. All right. Let's do this. We got to do a trending alert right here real quickly, and then we'll finish up with some calls on the other side. So why don't we do that on the Team 980 and the Odyssey app. All right, there's NFL news abound, and it starts with the Atlanta Falcons. They've been fined as an organization, and their new defensive coordinator, Jeff Ulbrich, has been fined individually for allowing his son to prank call Shedeur Sanders on Saturday during the NFL draft, acting as Mickey Loomis of the New Orleans Saints. Meanwhile, Abdul Carter of the Giants, the number 3 overall pick, says he also got a prank call during the draft. Some tough news here. Jets quarterback Jordan Travis is retiring due to the gross injury that he suffered at Florida State University that ended his college career. He was with the Jets organization last year trying to rehab and trying to make the roster as a fifth-round pick in the 2024 draft. He was going to have to deal with more rehab, and certainly his roster status was at least in question with the New York Jets. Instead, he has chosen to retire. The Nationals try and get back on the bike after losing two in a row, and last night in heartbreaking fashion on walk-off against Kyle Finnegan with a one-run lead in the ninth at Citizens Bank Park in Philadelphia. They try and do it against the Phillies tonight, 6:45 the first pitch, 6:15 the pregame right after Craig Hoffman here on the Team 980. And as we were just talking about a couple of minutes ago, the Caps go for the kill in Game 5, Capital One Arena, 6:45 the coverage, 106.7 the Fan, and that's what's trending.
Since the dawn of Major League Baseball, every player has honed their unique skills.
Judge, drive deep to left.
Ohtani connects and it's gone.
Skeen strikes out the side.
Bobby Witt Jr. throws in time.
Harper does it again.
Witness the hills of the game in ballparks nationwide. Get your tickets today at MLB.com/tickets. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy. And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
We get the best start to the day because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.
All right, good to have you with us. Final 20 minutes or so of the radio program. This is a little bit of an interesting, surprising NFL news and nugget. The Ravens are declining Tyler Linderbaum's fifth-year option. However, they want to keep the two-time Pro Bowl center on a contract extension. So they say, Jameson Hensley of ESPN, the decision not to pick up Linderbaum's option is based on the unusually high financial commitment and not performance. The fifth-year option would have been $23.4 million in 2026, which is a lot for a center, which would have been $5.4 million more than the NFL's highest-paid center in terms of average per year. Eric DaCosta, their GM, said, it's our intention to keep him or for him to remain a Raven long-term. You know why they're doing this? Just struck me. Again, if the average cost, $5.4 million more than the NFL's highest paid center, the 23.4 tag, or fifth year option, not tag, it's because they know that once you put a tender, once you put a price tag on somebody, 23.4, That's where the negotiation begins off of. Not $18 million, not $17 million, not $20 million. It begins off of 23.4. There used to be a loudmouth guy that said, screamed about the same thing for when the Washington Redskins stupidly franchise-tagged Kirk Cousins at the end of the 2015 season and early 2016. If only that guy still existed. Because the Redskins thought they were being cute. Oh, we'll just keep him. He won't be able to go anywhere. We'll pay him $20 million, worst comes to worst. A little bit more than we'd ideally like, but he'll, you know, he's not going anywhere. They didn't realize that by putting a $20 million tag down on him, that's what elevated the negotiation. All of a sudden, the negotiation wasn't $15 million per year or what they had offered, which initially was like $12.5 million per year. It was based off of, not at, but based off of $20 million a year. Why am I going to make $20 million a year in 2016 and then make $14 million a year in 2017, 2018, and 2019? Doesn't work that way there, homie. When you put a price tag, when you put a tender tag, when you put a fifth-year option number on a player, these agents are so smart, that's where the negotiation begins. That's where it begins. So actually, I think this is pretty smart of the Ravens, unless Linderbaum and his agent take significant offense to this. We'll see. We'll see. Last night, real quickly, I wanted to get to the Nationals because I need to. Look, it was a tough loss. It was a gut punch of a loss. But it was not, let me repeat, not, in my opinion, a bad loss. We all know the Phillies are better, or we should all know that, right? We should all know that. To lose to the Phillies, granted, after you thought you had the game won, and you make a ninth inning comeback, but after you're down 3-0 early because Mackenzie Gore can't stop giving up home runs, even though Kyle Finnegan and, to some degree, Keibert Ruiz didn't get the job done, last night was not a bad loss. It's not a good loss. There might not be such a thing. But it is a gut punch loss. They fought their asses off. Again, they were down 3-0. They came alive in the sixth and seventh. They had chances. They didn't get it done, I think, in the eighth inning. Offensively, then they score 4 in the ninth, take the lead. You lose. You lose on a wild pitch. You lose on a sac fly that goes off of Ruiz's glove. Listen, I get it. Kyle Finnegan wasn't good enough last night. I got it. That's a really, really, really tough place to pitch. That's a really tough lineup to go against. That's not a bad loss. That's a gut punch loss. And I would just say this. You keep playing the way the Nationals played last night. Not perfect. Not good enough. But you keep playing that way, and you are going to win more games than you have in 5 years, number one. And you're probably going to give yourself a chance that if you can win some of those games, and make no mistake about it, again, it counts as a loss, and it is a loss, and it's not good enough. You are going to give yourself a chance to make the playoffs, or at least to be playing meaningful games in mid-September. And maybe it'll take until next year. We'll see. But keep playing that way. Keep being resilient. Keep fighting back. Keep clawing. Keep scratching. And even though things didn't ultimately go your way, it's okay. Again, the name of the game is winning. I got it. It's not good enough, but it's also not bad. It's not embarrassing. Monday, embarrassing. Last night, last night is more typical of what you get night in, night out of the Nationals. Not Monday, but Tuesday. All right, let's get to we got two here that we got to squeeze in. Let's get to Chris in Damascus. Chris, I'm going to ask you to, as much as you can, to be as short as you can, so we can get to our final caller. But go right ahead. How are you, pal?
I'm fine, thank you, and I appreciate all the Nats talk. I appreciate all the people from the city representing and talking about the stadium. That's important as well, but we don't have time for that at the moment. And I agree with kind of your assessment of the Nationals at this moment. We've got another game tonight. We'll fight, and we'll do our thing. Let's go Jake Irvin and but yeah, you guys are doing. You have a good show there today. There's a lot of complicated things. I'll give an opinion on the national or the stadium. But I appreciate the people understanding and appreciating the fact that we got Nats Park in Washington D.C. And I just hope the mayor and I trust Mitch Rails. I trust Mark Hein and Josh. Good luck. However, y'all work it out. But I don't know what else they would have done there with that, the land there. But anyway, go do your show. You did a good job. Great show.
Thank you, Chris. Appreciate you as always. Good to hear from you. About the stadium, we'll see how it unfolds. Josh might have to kick in more money. I mean, you're going to let a deal go? Of course, not my money, but you're going to let a deal go over that? If the D.C. City Council says this is what it's going to take to get – now, my guy Alan Laporte, who's always good to the show and who called in the other day, sent me something from one of these council members that basically says – I'm trying to find it here. They've got, like, essentially five positive votes. They need seven. So we will see. We will see how this plays out. Let's get to Little – to wrap it up on the phones before we get to dum-dum of the day and exit stage left. What's up, Little? How are you?
I'm gonna make it really, really crisp. Cock-a-doodle-doodle-doo, Rooster. Hey, look. Hey, Mac. Shout out to A-Mac. Yeah, A-Mac, he's a Giants fan, too. But let me say this, though, because you say A-Mac a Giants fan. You're a Giants man, too, Rooster. Hey, look, congratulations on the Mets taking that game the other day. They put a whooping on us. But look, I hit the over, so I can't complain. Hey, look, shout out to my man from Oklahoma. And my man from, you just got off the phone. That's my man. Hey, look, because I'm going to tell you what, Rooster. My man, look, don't you know the mayor can have her disciples hit any one of these churches on a Sunday and send a correction and send a plate around and say, look, this money for the stadium. We collecting money from the stadium. That's how bad this thing coming, man. It's billionaires. You're not dealing with millionaires. And guess what, Rooster? The commissioner of the NFL, he probably told my man, look, Harris, you might have to come up with another little bit more money to please some of these people. And the only people complaining are the people in the Eastern Market. They need to go play pickleball or tennis on Sunday because they're not even football fans. Those are the only people complaining, man, the people right there in the Eastern Market, man. I'm born and raised here in D.C. I was born at D.C. General Hospital, right there adjacent to the stadium. And I'm tired of people talking about the name change. I tell you what, I trade in a Super Bowl appearance for a name change. How about that, Dr. Sabah? All this name change, come on, man. Let's get some win. Let's take this thing to the level where we can be respected in the NFL.
Atta boy, Little!
I don't give a rat ass about a name change.
And neither do I.
Hey, man, I'm going to tell you now. Yeah, because I'm getting fired up. Listen, so many people call in, don't even know about football. My man, Chris, just called football man. Oklahoma, football man. Come on, Roos. Hey, look, congratulations on the Mets, man. Look, hey, Roos, I'm telling you the truth. The American sin, and we got some rich churches, black-owned churches in D.C. She can send correction plate. She can send a plate all around in the church, man, and collect money for the stadium. That's how bad this thing coming. You're dealing with billionaires, Rooster. Cock-a-doodle-doo-doo-doo. You ain't dealing with millionaires. Shout out to the legend. I'm going to talk to the legend on the weekend. That's how bad this thing. Hey, look, don't you know this? Washington, D.C. is the capital of the United States.
Oh, I do.
Don't you think we deserve some class?
Oh, I do.
Other than what we have already?
Yeah.
We got the memorials. We got the monuments in the background on Monday night.
Yeah,
and this thing going to be used for everything.
Oh,
I know. Not just football.
I'm with you. Thank you, Little.
Look,
I appreciate you, brother.
I get fired up. Right after about the name call.
Bring us some burgers, Little. Bring us some burgers.
Give me a Super Bowl appearance.
All right. I appreciate you.
Give me a Super Bowl appearance.
There you go. I'll gladly take a Super Bowl over anything to do with the name. Anything. All right, dum-dum of the day coming up next. We're going to go to Florida because that's where most of the dum-dums are concentrated. But this one kind of heated up quicker than you might expect. We'll explain next on the Team 980 and the Odyssey app. All right, wrapping up shop here on a Wednesday afternoon. Don't forget, I'm out tomorrow. Linnell will be in for me. It's a crappy situation, but somebody's got to do it. Seriously, on a serious note, as our first call of the day mentioned, we should point out that smart medical choice, men certainly over 50, over 45, what have you, go get a colonoscopy. As uncomfortable as it is going to be, and I'm starving already, and I've got another 24 hours to wait. Well, maybe not total 24 hours, but pretty damn close. It's going to be a tough night. Tough night ahead for your boy. All right, you know what time it is. It is that time. We take you down to Florida, courtesy of the Smoking Gun. An 87-year-old Florida man arrested, sadly, for domestic battery after getting into a tangle, with his 85-year-old wife when she was unhappy at 7 a.m. on Monday morning about the air conditioning temperature. She tried to turn down the air conditioning. Apparently, this battle between the two of them has been a long-running feud, according to the arrest affidavit. They lived in St. Petersburg. The wife argued with the man, the husband, the husband returned to the home, argued with the wife about the air conditioner. The woman, quote, touched the thermostat to turn the air down. The man, Mr. Ingram, got mad. He allegedly pushed the victim away from the thermostat against the wall. When questioned by police, he admitted to pushing her first and then stated that the victim pushed him back. Now, he has a little bit of a history with domestic violence. Charge was enhanced to felony back in 1985. Not good. But still, they are a married couple in their mid-80s, and they're pushing each other and shoving each other over a bleeping air conditioner. Listen, guys, I don't know everything. Here's what I know. It ain't worth getting arrested for if you have to sweat a little bit, if you have to be uncomfortable a little bit, if you have to deal with your domestic partner just for a little bit. For God's sakes, just do what makes common sense and don't be a bleep. Whoa. Was that breaking news because I said don't be a bleep?
Yeah, breaking news.
Yeah.
Don't be a bleep.
That is true. Very true. AMAC, good job as always. I appreciate you. Sorry, I'm going to stick you with Linnell tomorrow. Trust me, I would rather be Linnell. I would rather be you than being me, okay? Hopefully you'll see me on the other side. I'll return on Friday. Again, do the right thing medically, even though it's an absolute pain in the ass and they are driving me insane. Pain in the ass in more ways than one. Thanks, everybody, for all the calls and for listening. Team 980, make sure you check out the podcast. We're always live and free on the Odyssey app. Every hour, every segment, every show on demand. Check it out. It helps us out. On the Team 980, Craig's next. Adios.
Well, thank you. Yeah, you can go sit down, Rooster. Goodbye.